welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, Trinity Church. Great to see everybody in service today. Has it been hot enough for you this week? Do we need to raise the temperature a little bit out there, maybe increase the humidity just to help you as you walk to the building, sweat just a little bit more in the parking lot? We can see if that can be arranged. It's great to see everybody here today. It's such a blessing to be in church together as a community. We are a community of God seekers. And we've been seeking the Lord these past several weeks in the book of Galatians. And today, we finish up the book of Galatians. We will finish the last chapter. Chapter 6 is our text today. And we're going to answer a big question. How do we fulfill the law of Christ? How do you and I fulfill the law of Jesus? How do we live out the law of Jesus? What is the law of Christ? Now, the Apostle Paul has been very bold in this book in Galatians, where he's really come after the Judaizers. Remember, this is a group of people that want the early Christians to start living back, go backwards in time and start living out the Old Testament law and add that to the work of Christ. And they want these New Testament Christians to take on the dietary laws again and take up all of these old traditions, and by living that way, somehow justify themselves in God's sight. And Paul comes against this. He's opposed to this because of the beautiful message of the cross. And so this book has been such a powerful time for all of us. And so I want to start out in chapter 5, where Pastor Joe taught us last week. And I want to look at the law of Christ as our starting point to go into chapter 6 today. Here's the law of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 and 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking or envying each other. This is the law of Christ. It's not about law keeping or law breaking anymore, Jesus says. It's not about that anymore. So for generations, the Jews have lived this idea of keeping the law and not breaking the law. And Jesus comes with a new message and says, that's a non-issue now. The death of Jesus dealt with all the penalties of breaking the law. All of those penalties are now dealt with at the death of Jesus. And here's the point. It's not that we have to live by this new law of Jesus. That's not the point. It's that we are empowered to live out the law of Christ. In the past, we had to, maybe in the Old Testament, there was a desire, a work towards trying to fulfill and live in the law. And now Jesus is saying, I'm giving the deposit of the Holy Spirit so that you can live out the law of Jesus. So the law of Christ is the redefinition of God's people. Jesus is redefining God's people in the law of Christ. It's a people who keep in step with the Holy Spirit. When we're walking in the law of Christ, we're walking in step, in pace, in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. It's a people who produce the fruit of the Spirit. As we walk with the Spirit, there's a new fruit that comes out of us. There's a new way of living that begins to naturally flow out of us that we don't have to force to happen, but it's a natural byproduct of walking with the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, the law of Christ orients us towards others. The law of Christ is people-oriented. It's oriented towards others. And what does this mean? When you look at the fruits of the Spirit, Most of them are outward facing: love, forbearance, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness. These require that I'm with other people in order to practice them. They're outward focused. They're not me trying to improve myself through self-improvement. They're not me trying to go inward to make myself holy so that I can be pleasing to God. No, the fruit of the Spirit is that I get into a community of people where I can learn to walk out love, where I can learn to be patient, where I can learn kindness and forbearance and faithfulness. All of these things have to be learned in a community. So for me to walk in the law of Christ, I have to be in a community and I have to be outward facing. Now, this is just the opposite of the law of the flesh, which Pastor Joe read last week in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The law of the flesh is inward oriented. It's inward oriented. Drunkenness, for example, enables one to sink into a private world, inward. Sexual immorality requires a private world. You have to build a private world in order to practice sexual immorality. Selfish ambition is really the kingship or queenship over one's private world. So the law of the flesh is inward focus. It draws us inward. When we go into the flesh to try to find life, we find ourselves in a gravity well of self-absorption. It's similar to in outer space with the new telescopes that we have, where we're finding black holes really all over the universe, and they're so fascinating. A black hole is so powerful in its gravitational pull that everything around it is drawn into it. Even light traveling at 186,000 miles per second cannot escape the gravitational pull of a black hole. That's similar to what the law of the flesh is. If we go inward, if we look to the law of the flesh for life, it will suck us into a self-absorbed gravity well that will consume us. And so, fortunately, the law of Christ sets us free from that so that we can be outward focused. So with that said, let's start into Galatians chapter 6. Let's jump into verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught, or in the New King James, overtaken in a sin or blunder, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I love this. This is an interesting word here in the Greek when it talks about burdens. Burdens are things that you and I cannot handle alone. These are sin issues sometimes, or issues of failure that have come into our life that we cannot handle alone. And here, when we have a burden, and when we share that burden with others, number one, when we share that burden in the community of believers in which we live, we come forward with that burden. And then number two, when someone in that community carries that burden with us, when those two things happen, Galatians and Paul tells us here that we fulfill or live in the law of Christ. This is how we live. This is the answer to the question, how do I live in the law of Christ? I have to, all of us have burdens. I have to be willing to share that burden with someone in the body of Christ, someone in the community. And then that person has to be willing to carry my burden. And when we do that together under Christ, we fulfill his law. That's right. That is the simplicity and the beauty and the power of the law of Christ. Could you imagine how free this would have been for, especially for Jews of the day who had 632 hedge laws that they had to memorize and try to follow in order to fulfill the law? And Jesus comes along and frees us from all of that and says, look, your burdens, don't carry them alone. Share them with someone else. And then when we are privileged to be a part of that and partner with somebody, I'm supposed to carry that burden with that person. And when we do that together, we're fulfilling the law of Jesus. There's a wonderful story I read this week about a member of a local church in California, a gentleman who, through some very poor decisions, some of them probably rising to the level of sin, found himself so in debt that he had multiple creditors coming after him. One of those creditors was a member of the local church in which he was a part of. They met each other and found out about each other's situation. And the gentleman who was the creditor, who was a banker, that this man owed a lot of money to, said this, "You know what? I think we need to pursue the law of Christ here." He said, "Let's meet together twice a week. There are over 2,000 passages in the Bible that talk about money and finances. Let's read every one of them together. Let's start praying and looking through the parables of Jesus. The 38 parables that Jesus told, 16 of them had to do with money and possessions." And so they went on this long Bible study together, meeting twice a week, studying God's word, praying together. And in the process of that, they began to build a budget for the man that they felt led by the Holy Spirit. And within less than a year, he was completely out of debt. That's what it means to fulfill the law of Christ. When we come alongside each other, study God's word together, admit where we've made mistakes, admit where we have burdens that we cannot carry on our own. And then the body comes around us and God does a work. Let's continue in verse 3. If anyone lacks anything, they may deceive themselves. Each one should test his own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is an interesting passage here. God cannot be mocked. We know from the scriptures that God can be grieved. God was grieved by the sin of Israel in the Old Testament. It grieved his heart. God was hurt. God was grieved. Here, though, we know that God cannot be mocked. Though he can be grieved, and we know also that God can become angry. God cannot be mocked. And here we have the law of sowing and reaping. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The law of sowing and reaping is irrevocable. It's uncontestable. It cannot be reversed. Now, if I sin, the good news is in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news that we have in the promise for 1 John 1:9. But that does not wipe away the seed that I planted in sin. It doesn't. And so you might think, well, wait a minute, what about the grace of God? Where does God's grace come into this picture? Well, the story of Samson illustrates this for us well. Samson, as if you'll remember from the Old Testament, had a call upon God in his life, and he was to set Israel free from a very wicked oppressor, the Philistines. And so he was called to help be a part of the process of setting God's people free. In that process, Samson found himself falling to the law of the flesh. He sowed to the law of the flesh consistently, so much so that eventually he found himself in a place that he shouldn't have been, with a person he shouldn't have been with, getting a haircut he certainly shouldn't have gotten, if anybody can relate to that. And so Samson was in a bad place, and then he was, of course, chained to a grinding wheel. And because of he had sowed to the law of the flesh, eventually he found himself in the temple of Dagon, and in this moment, he reached out to the pillars, and in a moment of purpose, even though he had sown to the law of the flesh, the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16 that he actually killed more Philistines at that temple in that moment than he had in all of his life. And so the law of the flesh can't be reversed, but then the grace of God also comes and works in our life. Samson's hair grew again, his strength was restored, and he ended up fulfilling his purpose. Let's continue in verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use to write to you in my own hand. Those who want to oppress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted by the cross of Jesus. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is new creation. Here Paul really stops and he makes an emphasis. He said, look, it's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not about keeping the law or breaking the law. What really counts, where I'm really trying to get the church to go, is to understand new creation. What is new creation? Well, I know when it began. When Jesus Christ rose on Easter morning, and after he had defeated that dual enemy of sin and death, he, as the Messiah, launched the new creation project of reversing all the effects of sin that have degraded and brought shame upon our world. Jesus, as Messiah, launched his new creation project. And so here's the truth. When you and I accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become new creation people. We are a part of this new creation project that Jesus has launched. We become new human beings, more human than we were before. We become actually a part of heaven on earth. We begin to be in the process of fulfilling the Jesus when he prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As a new creation person, you are in that process of bringing heaven to earth. It used to be in the Old Testament that the temple really represented a place where that happened. The temple really was a place where the glory of God dwelt, and it was a picture of heaven on earth. When Jesus launched the new creation project, and the reason Jesus says, hey, what counts here, what really counts is new creation. Because what he did is when he launched this project, he tore the veil in the temple in half from top to bottom, removing the Holy of Holies, and now the Holy of Holies is in you. Now, instead of one Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, there are 7 billion Holy of Holies on the planet today. This is why Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not this idea of, hey, let's just get everybody saved so that we can get out of here because the devil has messed this place up. Jesus didn't give up that way. He went to hell. He took the keys away from Satan. This is his good earth that he created. He's not giving it up to the enemy. He's calling you and I to bring about the fulfillment of the new creation project. Now, is it in its fulfillment? No, and it will not be until Jesus returns a second time. But the project has been launched. And this is why you and I have to realize our identity in new creation. And this is why Paul says, this is what counts. It's not about this rule or that rule or trying to, it's not about that. It's about realizing that new creation has been launched and you and I taking up our role in that project. Finally, in verse 16, it says this, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. To the Israel of God, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. And that concludes this amazing book called Galatians that really started the Protestant Reformation that Martin Luther looked to and said, this is the book that awakened me to the movement of the Holy Spirit on human beings. This is the book that helped me understand some of the corruption in the church that really had to be corrected and dealt with in order for the Reformation to take place. So, in conclusion this morning, here's what I want to help us do, is how do we fulfill the law of Jesus? How do we walk in the law of Christ? There's three simple things I want to present to you. First one is this. Number one, you and I have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you've never come to that place where you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day that you join in the new creation project that Jesus has launched. He would really love for you to be a part of it. He paid a big price to get this thing going. He took away everything that you ever have to fear, death and sin. He removed it all so that you and I could be in the same project that he's working on. It's this project called New Creation. Number two, the second thing we do to fulfill the law of Christ is we have to stop trying to do things to impress God and others. Stop trying to impress God and definitely stop trying to impress other people. It weighs you and I down. It's a burden that no one can fulfill. It will cause you to strive. It will cause you to act in the flesh instead of living by the Spirit. It will take you out of walking with the Spirit, and you'll find yourself walking alone with yourself, trying to solve your own problems, trying to impress God, impress other people. It's not about law keeping and law breaking. That would have been very relevant to the first century people that Paul was writing to. But in our day, it's not about keeping the Christian code or breaking it. It's not about the way you look, the way you dress. It's not about acting in a certain way to become popular in church. It's not about showing up at the Bible study so you can check all the boxes or doing all the things that you think you need to do to impress church people so that you think you're advancing this thing called Christianity. It's not about any of those things. It's about the new creation project that Jesus launched and your role in that project. And every single one of us have a very important role to play in new creation. Lastly, number three, carry each other's burdens. You and I are called to carry each other's burdens. When you think about it this way, if we're gonna fulfill the law of Jesus, first I have to recognize that I have a burden to carry, that I have a burden. And I think this morning, if you think about it, all of us could recognize there's a burden in your life that you can't carry alone. You've tried to, you've worked at it, you've wanted to carry it alone, but you can't do it. Jesus knows it. This is why we have the law of Jesus. He knows this about human beings. And so he's telling us, in order for us to fulfill the law of Christ, we have to recognize that we have these burdens, and then we have to take a step. Because the law of Christ is outward focused, I've got to go to somebody in the congregation. I've got to go to somebody and I have to share my burden with them. And I've got to go to somebody who not only can I tell about my burden, but that person has to be willing to then carry my burden with me. They got to maybe meet with me and go through those 2,000 passages if I have a money challenge or a money issue. Read through those with me and help me form a budget that could change my life. Or maybe it's another different issue where you get together with this person, you're reading scripture and praying and asking God to deal with this challenge that has caused shame in your life, that has caused struggle in your life, that you've really never been able to deal with. And Jesus is saying today, share your burden and let the body of Christ carry that burden with you. And as you and I do that together, we fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that good news? Isn't that so exciting to realize that's how easy it is? That's how clear it is to fulfill the law of Jesus. So here's what I'm gonna do this morning as we're closing out. I have one ministry question for you. What burden are you carrying alone? What is the burden that you carry right now, and you know that you carry it, but you carry it alone? I believe this morning that God has tremendous ministry for you. There's a burden you've been carrying alone, and he wants you to fulfill the law of Christ, and your step is to share with someone what that burden is so that they can carry it with you and we can all walk in the law of Christ together. Pastor Matthew.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. That's a fantastic word. It's a fantastic word. Let's all stand together. I'd like to invite our ministry team, some of our ministry team leaders up to the front. Ken and Monica Allen, if you'll come to the front. Camille, if you would please. Joy Lindsay, if you'll come to the front. Nancy, if you'll come to the front. What burden are you carrying that you shouldn't be carrying alone? Our ministry team is here to pray for you, to encourage you, to receive you, and let you know that you're not alone. And these are seasoned leaders ready to pray for you and encourage you. So for some of you here today, the next step is to come to the front and receive prayer. Just share in brief what's going on, what burden it is that you are tired of carrying on your own, that you know Jesus purchased at the cross so that you don't have to carry it by yourself. And so some of you today, you're like, well, there's nothing I can think of. Well, good. Then that means we're commissioning you now in the name of Jesus to go and help carry a burden for someone else, because there's somebody we believe the Holy Spirit is going to direct you to this week. Someone in your family, someone at your workplace, someone that you just randomly meet on the street, that the Holy Spirit has empowered you and says, you're the one to help carry this burden for them and point them to Jesus. So let's do this. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'd like to invite you to come and receive ministry and pray with one of these leaders. You're going to be so glad you did. And then we'll be released to have an amazing Sunday. How's that sound, everyone? Well, let's bow our heads together and welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for caring for us, for loving us, for encouraging us, and for being with us in this moment. We know you flow through your people. And so we recognize today there's burdens and things that are being carried that should not be carried alone. Would you come and just soften our hearts? Help us, Holy Spirit, to release, to humble ourselves and engage with others so that we can walk out of here knowing the freedom and the peace and the joy and the life that you purchased for us at the cross. And at the same time, Holy Spirit, I ask for those who are walking out of here today, spirits are light, who are ready to minister, that you would direct them to the right person, that you've called them to encourage, to empower, to bless, and to lead forward and to carry the burden with this week. We commit ourselves afresh and anew to you. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Derek, for that wonderful word. Again, if you're ready to receive ministry, coming up to the front, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper in today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.